Vayetze. Chumash. I gave my Chumash to my West Rice. Okay, so we're going to talk about Tefillah. I could have picked one of 3 weeks to do this, and I waited till last week, but I guess that's a good reason why. Okay, so we have Parshas Vayetze. As we start the Parsha, we find Yaakov on the run. The end of Toldos. He's running away from Esav. He's going to kill him. So Vayetze Yaakov miBeersheva v'yelech Haran. He's leaving Beersheva. He's going to Haran. He's going to the town, the land of his mother, right? That's where she told him to go. Stay away from the Benos Ches. V'yifgav makom v'yelech sham ki v'ha shemesh v'yikach miyam ne'makom v'yosem v'yashasav v'yishkam makom ahu. V'yichalom chalom v'yichalom v'hinei tzud marta arta v'yoshem v'giyah shemai v'lini malachei Elohim olim v'yardim bo. Okay, obviously the famous dream of Yaakov, the Malachim going up and down in the Sulam as they're going to escort him out of Eretz Yisrael into Chutz Laretz, different sets of Malachim. And the Torah uses the lashon of Vayivga b'makom, right? He literally a pigia. He met the place. Says Rashi, Lo hiskar b'izim makom, b'makom. So that's what's this makom? It's makom b'migdash Har Moria. How we got there? We'll see the whole story. Vayivga k'mo upaga b'yericho. Bumped into, he met Yericho Pagu b'Deveshes. Rashi shows you that al pipshuto, there are psukim in Yoshua that it means that you showed up to a place. But Rav Aseinu, Chazal learned this possibly saying something much more than just meeting the place. Perashu Lashon Tefila, Kimo al tifgoi bi, says Hashem, very scary psukim in Yirmiya, don't daven anymore. It's too late. Chorban Beis HaMikdash is coming. Don't daven. So Pegia, Pe Gimlayan is Lashon of Tefila. Lamanu Shatikin Tefilas Arvis. What was Yaakov Avinu doing over here? He was misaking the third Tefilas Arvis. The Shina Kasav Lo Kasav is parallel. So why doesn't it say he just davened? What's Vayivga? Lamdech Shakafet Lo Aretz. He davened and he davened in a he met up the place. He davened in a very surprised way. He just ended up in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara Chulin says the Makom itself moves, or he accretes the Derech. He got in the Makom and Migdash. He got there as a nace. So that we'll explore also. So what's Rashi referring to? A Gemara in Brachos, which is on your sheet. Well-known Gemara, but we'll try to explore it a little more in depth. The Gemara, in the beginning of Tefillas HaShachar, I'm sure some of your kids, whatever grade they teach Tefillas HaShachar, I think I learned it in 6th grade. Okay, some yeshivas they start with Baba Kama, but I went to all the yeshivas and started with Tefillas HaShachar, Rabbi Selengut, who knows him from Passaic. We learned Tefillas HaShachar together. Tashlumin, right? Famous Ad V'Ad B'Chlal. Hard for a 6th grader to get that, what that means. Ad V'Ad B'Chlal, Ad B'Lo Ad B'Chlal. But right after that sugya, about Tashlumin and the Zman Tefillah, the Gemara says as follows. Where do we get these three Tefillahs from? Where do we get these three Tefillahs from? What do you mean, where do we get them from? Some think that Tefillah is Tefillah Mitzvah in the Torah. Tefillah Mitzvah in the Torah? It's only Mitzvah Derabban and Tadala. What do you think?
From the Torah,
from where? Okay, so that's a good point. Yitzchak Mincha. So that's a question if what the Avos did, right? Okay, excellent. So maybe we should say Tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa because the Avos did it. So the Avos do something, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. How do we know that? Well, our first three mitzvahs in the Torah, mitzvah number one is Puruvu. That was told to all of mankind in the beginning, Adam Rishon. Mitzvah number two, Bris Milah, who got that tzivah, Avram Avinu. Mitzvah number three, mitzvah number three, Gid Anasha. Kenny the Gid Anasha, when Yaakov meets up with Sarah Shal Esav. But the Rambam, famous Rambam, the Rambam Perish Mishnayos in Chulin, in the Mishnah of Gid Anasha, tells us that don't think that we do any mitzvahs in the Torah because the Avos were commanded to do it. It's true, their Avos were commanded, and we should follow in their ways. But when there was Har Sinai, he's playing off the Lashon of the Mishnah, Nin Torah Nischad Shalacha. When Har Sinai came, it changed everything. So if it wouldn't have been part of Har Sinai, then we would have been Pater from it. It's done. At the time, maybe. But once Har Sinai comes, we say, whatever was till the past is over, and now we're going to go going forward. And Ram explains that it's all based on that one special moment of Har Sinai. Okay, so that's why he explains that Mila's repeated it in Parshas Tazria. Gid Hanasha is not repeated, but I think the Rambam deals with that as well. So that would have been a good source. But there is, happens to be the more of a side point, maybe we'll discuss a different time, a machlokas in the Rishonim. The Rambam thinks that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. How do we know that? U'la'avdo b'chol levavchem. Serve Hashem. How do you serve Hashem? Tefillah. The Rambam says, what's that mitzvah? To daven once a day, every day. Just it, one tefillah. Doesn't have to be shachar, doesn't have to be mincha. It could be a tefillah in your own language. Some think that you have to maybe make a request, Shevach Bakash V'Hodah, that's a discussion. But the Magen Avraham says, Okay, if that's true, I have a big question, the Magen Rebbe says. That means there's a mitzvah and a Torah to daven once a day, every day. So men, they probably accomplish more than that, right? They're add to that mitzvah, they do all the Rabbanan, Shachar, Mincha, Maariv. In the time of Magen Avraham, he says women weren't davening. They definitely weren't davening Shachars. He thinks they weren't davening anything. They were, some of them probably barely knew how to read. They're very holy people, and they were, you know, much greater than our generation, but they weren't davening the way we are used to. So Magen Avraham says, don't worry, the mitzvah d'oraisa tefillah, any tefillah. So of course, every woman wakes up and says, Modani. Modani l'fanecha, so you're yotze your tefillah right away. You thank Hashem through a form of a tefillah. And the Ramban says, no, there's no mitzvah in the Torah to daven every day, once a day. Shachar bin Chamar for sure is only derabanan, but he does think from the Chatzrotzos that it says that when there's a tzara, and Klal Yisrael should call out and daven out of the tzara tzura eschem, and you should be tokei v'chatzrotzos, and you should call out to Hashem, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. To daven when there's a difficult time, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. But what our sugya is talking about is the derabanan. That Chazal said, okay, there's a mitzvah to daven once a day, every day, for the Rambam. But let's make something more kavua. How so? Itmar, Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina Omar. Father Magamara, Idmar Biosim Khanina Omer, Tfilas Avos Tiknum. Tfila, why do we have a takana derabban Shachus Mechamarv Avram Yitzhak Yaakov? Shuban Levi Omer, no. Tfilas Kenegat Tmidin Tiknum. We don't have because of Avram Yitzhak Yaakov. We have because of Tamid Shal Shachar and Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim. Tani Kamas Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. Tani Kamas Rabbi Shuban Levi. Let's bring a raya for both opinions. Tani Kamas Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. Let's prove the opinion the Avos made davening. Avram Tikkun Tfilas Shachars. How do we know this? Shenemar v'yishkam Avram Baboker. Ela Malkum Asher Amad Sham. Bein Amida Ela Tfilas. Shenemar v'yamad Pinchas v'yipalel. So Amida means Tfilas. And Avram got up and davened for stone. Yitzchak Tikkun Tfilas Minchas. Shenemar v'yatsa Yitzchak Lasuach Basada. Lifnos Erev. Ve'ein Sicha Ela Tfilas. Shenemar Tfilas Ani Kiyatov Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. Conversation. Yaakov Tikkun Tfilas Arvis. Shenemar v'yifgav Malkum v'yalin Sham. Ve'ein Pegi Ela Tfilas. Shenemar So we prove that Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, what's the difference? Are there any differences besides the language? Are there any differences between the tefillah of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov in terms of how those tefillahs happened? What happened in Avram's tefillah? He davened for stone. And what happened? Not destroyed. So was that tefillah successful? No, that's famously pointed out that the first tefillah in history where Tangan Shachas wasn't quote unquote successful, but that's exactly the point. That's what Chazal are trying to teach us. It's not about necessarily getting the results that we desire. It's the act of tefillah and knowing that in the end, you know, Hashem knows what's best and Hashem's making the calls. Okay, now interestingly, contrast that to Yitzchak's tefillah. What was Yitzchak davening for? We don't know, do we? What was Yitzchak davening for? So some of Farshim think that... Okay, that's interesting. I never heard that, but that's very likely. I hear that. That's very interesting. I mean, he just experienced the Tsar losing his mother. Maybe it's the Ramban. He's crying out, but Yisar, I don't have a mother anymore. Very interesting. So what some of Farshim say is, where's he davening? But Yitzchak Lasuach Basad, he's davening in the field. So some say, very simply, he's davening in the field. He's davening for his crops. He's davening for Parnassa. And they have a whole connection to Las Mincha. Is that he was attacking Mincha. So Mincha is connected to our Parnassa. He was out davening for Parnassa. What tefillah is most shaykh to our parnasa? Mincha. Especially nowadays, we stop in the middle of our work, drop our work right there in the middle. You know, unfortunately, we had a tzar in our tzel during tefillah's mincha. People, you know, tzaddikim davening in the middle of their work. Well, hopefully we'll turn to that point. Something to think about, especially as we daven mincha going forward. And then some say that, and some say that he wasn't just davening for his parnasa, he was davening for, maybe this fits with the tzar, for himself in general, he was davening for a shidduch. He also felt like it was time for a shidduch. And that tefillah, exact opposite of Avram's, it was answered in a second. In the middle of the tefillah, there is his Rivka. And that's why Chazal say, never, don't be mezalzel on tefillah's mincha, because tefillah's mincha is a very important tefillah that Eliyahu on Har Carmel, he got answered through tefillah's mincha. And the Kli Yakar says, we see really rooted in the first tefillah's mincha, that it was answered right away. And Yaakov's tefillah, so we'll return to, is the most interesting, because what was the response of Yaakov's tefillah? He didn't get answered right away in the sense that whatever he needed will be there, but he was davening because he was fearful and is going down to Galus, but he had the clearest revelation of Hashem out of all through these tefillahs. It wasn't just a response, but Avram was there talking to Hashem, but Hashem appeared to Yaakov through specifically his tefillah. So his tefillah wasn't answered per se right away, but it resulted in an amazing Giloy, revelation of Hashem. Okay, so we'll return to that. Those are the three tefillahs, Shachar, Mincha, Maariv. Says the Gemara further, what about the other opinion? Tanya Kamas, there'll be Yeshua ben Levi. No, it's nothing to do with the Avos. When they Maariv, Tefillahs, Shachar, Chatzos, the Avos maybe only account for the fact that there are three tefillahs in general, in around this time of day. But how do you get the exact zmanim? Why is shachar only at chatzos? Or according to the other opinion of the Mishnah, ad dal shalos sharei. Tamid shal shachar karv holich at chatzos. Biudomar ad arba shalos sharei. Tamid shal shachar karv holich at arba shalos. Neimar metzilas mincha ad erev. Because you can only bring the tamid shal ben arbaim until nightfall. Rabbi Yehudamar ad plaga mincha sharei tamid shal ben arbaim. Karv holich ad plaga mincha. Neimar amr metzilas arvis in la keva. Metzilas arvis, there is no set time. Let's see what that means. Shaharei. Okay, so I left something off on purpose, right? Shachar says connected tamid shal shachar. Minchas connected tamid shal ben arbaim, as the Torah says in Parshas Pinchas. Keves in the morning, keves in the afternoon. So where does the third tefillah come from? What's the third tefillah? Says the Gemara that when they brought those karbanos, they shechted it. The main part of a karban is that you throw the dam, you collect the dam, you throw the dam in the mizbeach. Then you have the imurim. You take the limb, the limbs, the meat of the karban, and you burn it on the mizbeach. Some of it gets eaten. Karban tamid, none of it gets eaten. It's an ola. It all goes up and gets burnt. So the ivarim upidarim, the animal's limbs, organs, those really should be burnt during the day. But if we haven't finished, there's a lot to do. Shalonis achlu, they haven't been fully burnt up, then you can burn it all night. So marv is against the haktara of the ivarim upidarim. So those are our two. Oh, okay, so the Gemara is going to continue. And then why do we say Musaf Kol Hayom? Because you can bring carbon Musaf Kol Hayom ad Shavashah. So just skip down a little bit. And the Gemara concludes. The Gemara has a stira. So you see this brisa that says that all the times are like Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. All the times are about the carbon. What do we do with the opinion that it's about the avos? So the Gemara says, let's say it's a tiyufta. There's a rejection of the first opinion because the second brisa says that it's all for the avos. The Gemara says, no, it's okay. Amr locha Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. Last line here. Amr Yosef ben Chanina. The old melcha tilas avos tignu. Of course, the avos were attacking tefillah, and we should continue doing things due to the avos. But they took the tefillahs of the avos and they attached them later to karbanos, so we have the proper time. Because why not? What's the biggest proof for that? Because we only have three avos, right? Where does tefillahs musaf come from? Sarah? Rivka? Right, we only have three avos. So tefillahs musaf is keneged the karbanos. So obviously there has to be some aspect of karbanos. Good. So we have machlokas in the Gemara. The Gemara seems to conclude that it's basically a combo platter of avos and karbanos. Okay, but when everything's all said and done, originally it's a machlokas, and it's a little bit of a hard machlokas to understand, because is there really a nafkamina between the two opinions? What's the difference if we say the tefillah comes from the avos, or the tefillah comes from the karbanos? Okay, you had an idea maybe, an idea that we should say that it's like almost more daraisa when it comes from the avos, but practically, halachic speaking, what would we say? So this is something that the Achronim are bothered with. There's a bunch of Achronim that deal with it, and I found it was all collected in one place in the Sefer Einayim Lemishpat. What's the Sefer Einayim Lemishpat? It's written by Rabbi Yitzchak Arieli, and it was written probably, we're in 2016, it's probably written like 50, 60 years ago, probably 50, 60 years ago. Rabbi Yitzchak Arieli, interesting person, was a Rosh Yeshiva Rebbe in Merkaz HaRav. Rav Kook's yeshiva, Rav Kook started, so he was one of the main rebbeim because of Rav. He wrote this very interesting svarim in Ayim L'Mishpat and different mesechtos, where he just basically gathers the Rishonim and the Achronim and just gathers them and just doesn't have so much explanations for them. It just gathers a lot of svarim together in one place, so it makes it very useful. He actually is a very famous grandson, if anyone's heard the name of Arieli. What? No, so that's actually, I think, a nephew or a great nephew. But his cousin, Mr. Arieli from Queens, Rav Usher Arieli, is actually the biggest, I think probably the biggest Magid Shir in the world. His Shir room is probably the size of this room, maybe bigger. His Shir room, and it's filled. He gives a Shir in the mirror, and he's you know, people listen to his Shir, and they record them, listen all over the world. Big tzaddik also. This is his grandfather. His grandfather was Rosh Yeshiva Merkaz HaRav. Okay, how you get from Merkaz HaRav to the mirror is not so hard, because the Merkaz HaRav of the old days is very different than Merkaz HaRav nowadays. It's all long, interesting. I mean, it's all good. So he brings this question. Okay, so first of all, we're going to get back to this. There's a first question about Maariv. We'll hold off on that. What's the other nafkamina? Mincha Gedola. Mincha Gedola. What is the best optimum time to daven mincha? Right? Mincha Gedola or Mincha Ketana. Earliest possible time we should daven Mincha, or later possible times. If you see the tefillah is about the karbanos, then we should try to parallel when they actually, it wasn't just hefker that you could technically bring the karban from this window to this window, from after the sixth hour until nightfall. But they didn't just one day wake up and bring the karban. They set time. They brought it as early as possible in the afternoon because it takes time to burn the ivarim, the whole process. It takes time. So then you should daven mincha gedola. If you follow Yitzchak, I guess we don't know what time exactly Yitzchak daven, but there's no reason to prefer mincha gedola. Maybe there are some reasons to prefer mincha ketana. So that's one nafkamina halacha of which way we'd paskin the avos of the karbanos. So he quotes the Merkevis on Mishnah that deals with that. And then you have another nafkamina. Fascinating. Tashlumin, what all these sugyas are about. How does Tashlumin work? Where does Tashlumin come from? Right? That if the avos were attacking tefillah, you could have Tashlumin. Why? Because you have a mitzvah to daven, you messed up, but Chazal allow you to make it up. Aval im keneged tmidim, hare, avos mano, batel karbano. The Gemara deals with this, right? The Gemara says that if you fail to daven, whereas you want to apply other zana about the karban, if you fail to daven, if you always have one tefillah to make up, but if you fail to do tashlumin in your window of time, so we say other zana about the karbano, but on the kaimlan kitravayu, so we pass them like both. So the only way we can have tashlumin, says some achronim, is because we also hold of avos. If you purely went with a karbanos route, so what would happen? You can never make up the Tamid Shel Shachar, right? Because then it becomes the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. You just lost it. Avir Zmano, there's only a specific time with Batal Karbano. The Gemara says that about Karbanos. Okay? That I think, and that's why actually there are some that say that by Karban Musaf, there's no such thing as Tashlumin. Because Karban Musaf is solely based on Karbanos. There is no Avos for Karban Musaf. You don't have Tashlumin. There are other ways to explain that, but that he thinks is a potential Nafkamina. But our third Nafkamina, which we're going to stress, is a very, very strong question. What do we know about Tfilas Ma'ariv? We know two things so far. Yaakov's involved in Tfilas Arvis, and it has to do with the Ivarim Upidarim, right? The burning of the Murim of the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. But halachically, do we know anything about Ma'ariv that makes Ma'ariv different than other Tfilas? That's the Gemara. The next Gemara, turn the page. The Mishnah's language, oh, you don't have to, yeah, you will have, turn the, go down one source, fourth source on the page. I'll turn my page. Tefillas Erev. So the Mishnah's language is Tefillas Erev Ein La Keva. There is no defined Kvias, right? When we say Kvias, it means that you're set, right? Makam Kavua, set time. There is no set time for Marav. What's this language, Ein La Keva? Ili Madi Bay Matzli Kule Laila. If you want to say that you could daven all night, which is how we do, right? Okay, we try to avoid going past Chatzos, at least for Kriya Shema. So if you want to, but you could daven Marav all night, right? Sure, you've had times where you've daven Ma'ariv at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. So you're allowed to do that. So just say simply, don't give this confusing language. Just say, Tfilas Ha'arev, call a Laila. Elamai in la keva. What does it mean, in la keva? There's nothing set about Ma'ariv. Just say the whole night. Command Amar Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Because Arvis, Ma'ariv, which you all probably daven, or you will daven, is optional. Really? It's optional? Then we do it in Shmuel. Tfilas Arvis, Rabbi Gamliel Amar Chova. Rabbi Gamliel says there's an obligation to daven Ma'ariv. Rabbi Yeshua says it's a Rishus. Amar Abaye, halachi devi omer chova, Rav Amar halachi devi rishus. Abaye says we paskin the Marav Zachiyah, Rav says we paskin the rishus. Machlok is Abaye Rav, how do we always paskin? Except for six cases? Like Rav, the Gemara Bamatzia says, right? Halachi is a karava, chutz mi yal kagam. Yal kagam is a Rashi Tevos for the six places that we paskin like Abaye over Rav, and there's a machlokas, how to figure out what all the letters are, but we know for sure what, let's say the Yud is Yeyish Shalom Midas. It's a Sugya in Bamitziah by Yeyish, there we paskin like Abaye. The Yeyish Shalom Midas is not Yeyish in a lost object. Okay, so we pass. So according to that rule, we paskin like Rava, that Marv is a Rishus.
This is why women don't daven.
Very good. This is probably why women don't daven. I think somebody says that. I think the Magen Avraham maybe says that.
Unless they take it out
that, that women took it upon themselves in general to daven something. Shachas, mincha, okay, discussion. But they definitely didn't take it upon themselves as a collective whole. Ma'ariv, if one woman wants to take upon herself like anything, fine, yeah. That's probably why women don't daven. The Ram says that's why. What else is different? What's different about Ma'ariv? Let's say Shmoneh Esrei Ma'ariv, then Shachas to mincha. Makes a, depending what shul you daven, a 3 to 6 minute nafkamina of shortening Ma'ariv. Okay, let me add something, but what makes Ma'ariv shorter than mincha? Chazaras Hashas. There's no Chazaras Hashas in Maariv. Why? Right? That's why I said 3 to 6. I guess some shuls could do it in 3. Some do in like 10. Okay, it's a little much. But why is there no Chazaras Hashas for Maariv? So I don't know all the reasons that people give me. Okay, so the Gemara in Brachos does talk about the idea of Tircha the Tzibura, and it was dangerous down in the fields, and that's why they were attacking that last paragraph of Hashkevino, so we should wait for the people. So maybe that's why they undid it. Maybe there could be other reasons why. But the Rambam says that the reason why there's no Chazaras Hashas for Maariv is because of this exact reason. It's Rishas. It's not the same type of tefillah. What's the whole point of Chazaras Hashas? To be motzi people who don't know. All right, those people that don't know, they don't daven anyway. It's Rishas. Okay, we'll see exactly what Rishas means in a second. But before we define Rishas, there's a more basic question we have to ask. Why? Why would Maariv be optional? What makes Maariv different than all other tefillos? So, who's the first one to say this? The Gemara doesn't say it, but the Rishonim explain, I don't remember who the first one to say this, but the Rishonim explain what makes Maariv different. Well, if you take a karbanos perspective, okay? First tefillah, karban tamid of Shacharis. Second tefillah, karban tamid of Ben Arabayim. Third tefillah, the burning of the Imurim from the karban tamid. Let's say you never did that. Let's say you failed to do that in a karban. Is your karban kosher? Your karban is not kosher. So the halacha is perfectly good. You're supposed to do it. It's part of the procedure of the karban. You don't have to do it. The main thing of a karban is you throw the blood on the mizbeach. As long as you do that, even if you don't get around to burning the things for whatever reason, you're good to go. So we should explain that Maariv is a rishus. Why? Because the whole act itself of what Maariv was dependent on, the baseline, is a rishus. Good. Now what about the other? Okay. So now what about the other opinion on Chavav Amud Beis, our first Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina, Avos Tiknum. Okay. Avram made Shacharis. Very serious tefillah. We have to daven Shacharis. Yitzchak made Mincha. Very serious tefillah. We daven Mincha. Yaakov is any worse off than the other Avos? Chazal say Yaakov was the Bechira Avos because he got the kolchus of both Avram and Yitzchak. He was, in a certain sense, he had a certain greatness to him. He was the Amid HaTorah, Yaakov Avinu. Hard to say that Yaakov's tefillah should be any less than he was. The Gemara says he was metakin it. Why should it be any different? And that's what some Achronim say. Yeah, then maybe that's a nafkamina. If you look at our Gemara in Chav Zayin Amud Beis, there's two opinions. Rabbi Gamliel says it's a chiyuv, and Rabbi Yeshua says it's a rishus. Maybe Rabbi Gamliel matches up to Rabbi Yosef of Chanina that it's based on the Avos, so it's just as obligatory because it's Yaakov. He's no different than Aram Yitzhak. And Rabbi Yeshua thinks it's about the Karbanos. Maybe that's the exact mach locus. I think there's a Rashi in Shabbos, let's see if we can find it on the spot. It's on Testament Days. Yeah? Rashi seems to say that Maariv is a rishus because we pass him that we follow to me that you just find it. The Maariv Matzilas Arvus Rishus, says Rashi. Why in Shabbos Testament Beis? Why is Arvus Rishus? The Maseches Brachos Memneishu Kineged Hector Chalavim Veimurim Shein Maklin Kaparasan. It's only based on the Haktara. If we want to skip that step, we're okay. So it implied from Rashi is that if you hold like Avos, it's a chiyuv. I think they point out that Tosos disagrees with that. That even if you hold Avos, it's going to be a rishus. We'll have to explain that. There are other opinions that are explicit about that. So some will say that's exactly the difference. If you say Karbanos, then Maariv is different. If you say Avos, then Maariv is just as obligatory. But the Pnei Yoshua doesn't like that. He thinks it shouldn't tie up that way. The man d'amar rishus could think about whatever he wants, either way he slices it about where it comes from. And the opinion of Chova also could say either way he wants. They're not dependent on each other. But then he asks, why? So why is Yaakov different? So the answer to that is our other Rashi. Vayifgab makom. What was Yaakov doing? Avram said, I'm going to daven. I need to save stone. Yitzchak said, I need a parnasa. I need a shidduch. Whatever he's davening for. I'm distraught after Sarah's passing. I'm going to daven. Yaakov? I'm running away from Esav. Oh, I hit the Makom HaMikdash. Okay, how can I pass this place by and daven? The whole institution of Yaakov's tefillah wasn't, I don't want to say an accident, but it was a happenstance. It just happened that way. So we see that it didn't, even when Yaakov made it, it didn't have the same standing. That's what
if he hadn't been running away, he wouldn't have davened.
He wouldn't have davened, right? He didn't plan on being metakin. And if he didn't hit the Makom HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash jumped up and came to the sun, he wouldn't have davened. He just said, how can I pass by the place where my father and my grandfather had this amazing moment of the kid and I can't daven there?
2 hours earlier.
Exactly. So let's see. And they say more based on Tosin Brachos. Tosin Brachos asks, How can you say Yaakov made Mariv, but the timing is not right because it says the sun just set, so he's davening too early. So that's part of it also, that that he wasn't really planning on being mitakin Mariv. That's another nafkamina the Rambam says. The Rambam says that since Mariv's a reshus, ain medaktikin bismana. You could daven Mariv a little bit early, a little bit late, too late. You don't have to be so careful with the time of Mariv because it's a reshus that will return to. So the Pnei Yeshua explains this, and it was really said earlier than the Pnei Yeshua. It was said by the Mabit. The Mabit is Rabbi Yitzchak Mitrani, I think, right? Yitzchak Mitrani. He lived around the same time as the Beis Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Karo. There's a tshuva back and forth between the Marit and the Beis Yosef. So the Mabit, he has a halacha sefer. He has Chalas and Tshuvos, and he wrote a sefer called Beis Elokim, where it's like a sefer of Musar and Machshava, and he has two sections that sefer. There's Beis Elokim, the part on tshuva, and the part on tefillah. It gets quoted in a lot of important ideas of tshuva and tefillah. So there, I think, in Perek Yud Ches, he says this exact idea. And we'll see as we go further. He says more than this, but he says that Marv is a reshus, even if you hold avos, not like this Rashi and Shabbos, because it was just like this Pnei Yeshua is just through happenstance that Yaakov was on the run, and it had this moment, and he had his tefillah.
Okay. What we're saying about Avram.
No, they had.
I mean, they weren't davening Shabbat. Avram was going to do something. He wasn't davening Shabbat every morning. He just happened.
He made a conscious decision that I'm going to daven now, and I'm going to set for future that I'm the same way I set out to daven.
Then Yaakov didn't have that.
He didn't have. It just was like Avram had a reason to daven. Stone. Yitzchak had a reason to daven, but it was like every other two. They planned on davening. Yaakov, it just happened. How does he say it? Let's see how it says it. Tfilas Yaakov Bozos, it's where the dots are. Amman Luli Devrayim, I nearly the Tfilas Yaakov Bozos, man, loya, but title the Kvot Tfilas Sarvis. Oh, Shabbat Shalom, Spal, Derech Nidava. He just wanted, he wanted to be Misnadev. He wanted to give a free Tfila. Tamar Esher, Shavarti, Yaakov, she's Pala Avosai, El Achash, Shavra, Yaakov, she's Shakal, Lachama. Yaakov saw the sun was setting, even though it wasn't supposed to set. So then he made Tfila, more definitive for Marv, but he wasn't going to daven Marv necessarily. He was just going to daven. He was going to come with a new tefillah. It was just a tefillah that he was used to from his forefathers to get saved from Esav to make it through. Now we'll return to that point a little bit later. But what exactly does it mean reshus? What does it mean reshus? Are you saying to me? Am I saying to you that really, we're all just big tzaddikim davening Marv nowadays? You give yourself a pat on the back. We're all just have extra points because really we don't have to be here. And we all get extra points from davening Marv because Marv is a reshus. Is that really what it means? So there's a Tosos in Brachos, it's on the sheet, earlier Tosos, on the first daf of the Perek. Tosos is bothered. In the Tash, a few questions. In the Tashlumin Sugya, where the Gemara brings up Tashlumin. So one of the cases of Tashlumin is someone who failed to daven Marv. Right? If someone fails to daven Marv, you fall asleep. The next thing you know, it's the morning. So what do? You daven shacharis twice. Good? One case. Another case Tosfos is bothered by. The Gemara later says, right, we just had this. Let's say you forget to say Yalav Yavo and Mariv. So the halach is by shacharis mincha. What do? If you forget Yalav Yavo, you got to go back. It's canceled. Not good. You're not yotzei. Mariv, the Gemara says, you don't have to go back. But not because of the reshus. Gemara says something very interesting. A whole separate discussion. Because Kiddush HaChodesh, when they sanctified the new moon, they didn't do that at night. You need a bed, you need to do it during the day. So since there can't be Kiddush HaChodesh at night, the need to be mazkir, to mention Rosh Chodesh at night, is more lenient. Okay? And then there's another question that Tosfos here doesn't ask, but he adds in other places, that the Gemara in Shabbos says that if a person is doing things before davening, like getting a haircut and changing his clothes, where it's a big tircha to go and daven again. So the Gemara says, by Marav, we don't make him like go through a big tircha to go back. But all things being equal, it sounds like from that Gemara that we would require him to daven Marav, but just that we don't make him go through such a tircha to daven Marav. So Tosfos says, is it really a reshus? If it's really a reshus, why would I daven Tashlumin for it? If I mess up, I didn't mess up. I'm a tzaddik for davening Marav, and I didn't do something that's...
Yeah, you said about the Chazor
HaShem. Right, exactly. I have no chiyuv, so why would there ever be Tashlumin? That's Tosfos' questions on this last source in the first page, and he answers, if you look down, turn it over, the first...
I mean, that's not such a question, though, because even though
even though it's a Rishus, but we've taken it.
Okay, so that answer, that's what the Rif and the Rabbeinu Yonah, a lot of the, no, we're not going to, that's exactly what they say, that's an excellent answer, and they say it in different ways. The Rif says, when I come to David, when I, that day, I come to Davin, I decide to make the decision to Davin, so I guess you have to say for the case of Tashlumin, I planned on Davin Ma'arav and I just forgot, then you have Tashlumin. I guess the Rif would say to you, but if you just said, like, you know, I'm out of Ma'arav this night, then maybe you wouldn't have Tashlumin. So they, so then we'll see how exactly that making it a chiyuv works. Where does that come from, right? You knew that. How do you understand that? Where does that come from? Tell us a different answer. Yesh Lomar, Hadar Minat Tfilas Arvis Rishus, Hainu, what does it mean, Rishus? Rishus doesn't mean that you could opt in and out of it just like that. Hainu legabi mitzvah acheres, v'hi overes. Da'azar minin tidcha tfilas arvis v'paneha. Aval achinam inu levatlo. You can't just cancel Ma'ariv for no reason. You can't just, I remember as in camp, as a little kid, like a, not a little kid, in camp, whatever, 10, 11, we used to joke around, like, oh, Ma'ariv's Rishus, let's go back to the bunk, you know, let's go, whatever we have to do.
Benching?
The second half of benching. Is there a bottom? But this is even worse. This is the Rishus. So, all right, okay. So that's incorrect. We were against Tulsos. We were against Father Rishonim for different reasons. What does it mean, Marav's Rishus? It means like this. You're about to go into Marav. And, I don't know. And you're about to go into Marav. And this is more Shaykh in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of shuls where they share the shul and then the ulam, right? The hall, the social hall, the shul. Is a wedding hall, catering hall, right? Our shul is there. Okay, maybe Romer, right? Okay, you're gonna go down Marvin Romer, down to Marvin Romer, and you walk in, and then you realize, oh, I don't know why you forgot. It's your cousin, it's your friend. Someone's making a chasana that night, and it's about to end, right? Second dance is about to be over. Chasana about to be end. So you have a mitzvah over, simchas chasana mekala. You got a gear mitzvah, you can do chesed. Or in Rachman Atzlan, someone's about to go down Marv, also only shaykh and Eretz Yisrael. You hear about a levaya, and that's a mitzvah over, because if you don't go right now, mitzvah's not gonna come back. It's not so easy to have some mitzvah veris, except like on holidays. Matzah, you have a mitzvah veris, you don't need it right now. Okay, these types of chesed things, you have a mitzvah veris, you're an EMT. Well, that's pikuach nefesh, but whatever, some case. So you have a mitzvah veris. So then you can be mevatel marav. I'm not going to do marav because it's a rishus. Tos says, how does he deal with the language that it's optional? It doesn't mean it's optional. It's a rishus legavi mitzvah sacheris. When I weigh it against another mitzvah, then we can opt out of marav. I just thought it was interesting. I'm not exactly sure how this works out in terms of the other tefillos. That means the Tosafot is saying that if I have a mitzvah overis that clashes with shacharis, then shacharis wins. Why does shacharis necessarily, if it's a mitzvah overis, you know, so you have to say what the case would be, is that if it's before I start dialing shacharis, then maybe you're right. Maybe mitzvah overis could be, you have to figure out if mitzvah overis could be shacharis. But if I already started davening, so then we say also mitzvah patur min mitzvah, and you could ignore the chasana. But I guess by marav, even if you've already started marav, you could opt out and you could do the mitzvah veris. Maybe I wasn't sure. I didn't see someone discuss that. But then there's another answer, right? The Rif, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rambam, they all say in different ways that it was a full blown rishus. So what's the gemara about tashlumin and repeating Yalav Yavo? Because we accepted marav upon ourselves as a chova. Now, what does that mean? How does that work? So you could just say, on a simple level, like it's a personal Kabbalah, like you said, by Nashim, they're mekabel themselves Tila, they're mekabel upon themselves Mangramas, they're mekabel upon themselves Sfiros Omer, some poskim say. So you could argue something like that. So there's an interesting machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid, how this halacha of Kabbalah as a chovah works. Look on the next source, the Rambam says, Mishay Omer betvila. I don't know if anyone's having, you don't have to admit it. V'niska shekvar hispalel. Right? Sometimes you daven mincha in not your normal place, and then you're in a rush, right? You go home and you say, oh, I gotta go out to mincha. Show up to shul, expect manasseh, and you realize, daven mincha ready. So what do? Says the Rambam, you stop. You daven ready. Pulsing a tefillah b'emsa bracha. But why do you have to stop? There's such a thing as a tefillah nedava, where I can volunteer a tefillah even though I'm not chayiv. So why don't we say that I should just, no, I shouldn't stop. I should say I had my chiyuv tila, and I have my tilas nedava. We don't daven tilas nedavas anymore. We should explain because we don't have kavana. So, you know, Hashem has to suffer enough with our shachars, mincha, and maravs without kavana. Why add a fourth tila as a nedava? So we don't generally do tilas nedava. But the Rambam says, emais a tilas arvis, ainu postik. Don't stop davening. Shaloh yispal also mitchila el adash ainu chova. Why? Because you're allowed to turn a marav into a tefilas nedava, okay? You're allowed to turn a marav into a tefilas nedava. A shacharis, You can't say, oh, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to turn my shacharis as a mistake into a nedava. Because shacharis is a chiyuv. And chiyuv and nedavas, you can't flip-flop in one to the one from another. But Marav, already when I came to daven, it wasn't a chiyuv. It was a rishus. So I could just continue and say, okay, I'm going to continue davening not as a chiyuv. I won't call it Marav anymore, but I'll call it a tefilas nedava. Says the Ravid, next line, interesting, Ravid, Ein kan nachas ruach. I don't like this. Usually the Ravid tells you why he doesn't like it. He just says, this is not good for me. Maybe it's a play on words, nachas ruach, because tefillah is supposed to be like reach nichavach, it's a carbon, okay? Ein kan nachas ruach. I don't like this Ravid. Says the Kesef Mishnah, I don't like this Rambam. Why doesn't the Ravid like the Rambam? Because we, Paskin, like you said, we accepted Marv as a chiyuv. Once we accepted Marv as a chiyuv, it's no different than shachar and mincha. So how could the Rambam come along and say it's different than shachar and mincha? So here we have an amazing explanation from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Chaim Soloveitchik in his great sefer, Chidushi Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi al Rambam. Reb Chaim on the Rambam, right here. This is my edition, different editions. I was talking to my Chavrusa about this. Chavrusa man, he told me that Rav Zevin, Rav Yosef Shalom Zevin, heard of Rav Zevin? Rav Zevin wrote, they translated it into English, The Festivals in Halacha. You ever seen that art school book? Or like Hasidic Stories on the Moadim. Rav Zevin was a very interesting character. He was on like the Bezin in Yerushalayim. He wrote many svarim. He was a Lubavitcher Chassid, but he was also like in the yeshiva world of learning. He was a Dayan. So he wrote the same one, wrote an amazing Halacha Sefer, and the Sefer of collections of Hasidic stories. And the Moadim, so he also wrote a really interesting Sefer, which I don't own. There's a good Sefer, I guess, called Ishim Vishitos, People and Their Opinions. And he describes different Gedolim, and he gives you a short biography of them, and then he quotes Divrei Torah from them, not just any Divrei Torah. He tries to quote Divrei Torah that shows you like what they were all about, like what reflects most their way of learning, their way of looking at the world. He has like, you know, people like Siv, Rav Kook, everybody. So apparently, Rav Chavrusa told me that the piece that he quotes from Rav Chaim that shows Rav Chaim's style and learning, maybe quotes more than one. One of the pieces he refers to is this piece right here. So how do you explain this Machlokas Rambam Ravid? Can you flip a Marav into a Tilas Nedava, or you treat it like Shacharis, where you can't? So they're arguing, Rav Chaim says, about how the Kiblu Alayu Kecholva works, that we make Marav into a Chiyuv. Says the Ravid, what we did was, we have the ability, we were Mekabel Marav, we changed Marav. We made Marav as a Tfilas Chova. We changed, this is Rav Chaim's terminology, we changed the Chesa, we changed the item of the Tfila into a Tfilas, from a Tfilas Rishus, into a Tfilas Chiyuv. And we can't mix the two. So you can't just continue davening Marav, you have to stop. But the Rambam holds that in its essence, Marav is still a Rishus. We obligated ourselves to daven a tefillas rishus. That's what we did. We said we have a personal obligation to, we're still big tzaddikim according to Rambam, we have a personal obligation to make a nedava, to give Hashem something, to give something that we weren't ever obligated to do. But the tefillah itself remains as a tefillas rishus. So therefore, when I daven it, I'm obligated to do it, but the tefillah itself is still a nedava. So then I can flip in the middle, and if I realize, oh, I daven my already, doesn't matter. I don't have to daven it anyway. I have to daven it, but Marav doesn't have to be davened by me. A Tfilas Nedava has to daven by me. So if I already davened Marav, I'll just make this into a Tfilas Nedava. And he proves that the Rif has a language that we made the Tfilah into a Chiyuv. He learns like the Ravid, but the Rambam didn't understand the Gemara that way. And he quotes our other Rambam. He quotes the Rambam in Perek Gimel that says that you don't have to daven Marav exactly in his right time. You could daven Marav a little bit before its time. A little bit before its time on Erev Shabbos, you daven Marav a little bit before its time according to the Rambam, right? You make Kabbal Shabbos early, you daven Marav before its time because it's a Rishus. So what do you see from the Rambam? That even after we made it into a Chiyuv, we still treat it differently than the other two. It's interesting, I just noticed as I went over it again, he doesn't quote the third Rambam that we don't have Chazaras HaShas. I don't know why he left that one out, but he maybe one's enough, or maybe there's something he understood that a little bit differently. That's just a point to discuss. Now, so that's how that Kabbalah B'chiyuv works, and the nafkamina to that is something that we don't have anymore anyway, of Tfilas Nedava. Tfilas Nedava, can you flip it in the middle of the Rambam versus the Ravid with the explanation of Reb Chaim? Now back to our Yaakov Avinu, right, which should shed a lot of light on the nature of this Rishus. Again, like we said, he davened spontaneously due to the need of the Esav and him going into Galus, but he was really just planning on davening a one-time thing to make it through. He wasn't planning on being creating a new Maariv, Haraya, the Pnei Yeshua says, because it wasn't even time for Maariv until Hashem made the sun set. So we learn from Yaakov Avinu a very important concept for our tefillos, and that sometimes that's the way we're going to have tefillos. And Reb Tzadok HaKawi Milublin explains in a Sefer Atzitzi Laila that really the Shachar's Mincha Maariv of our mitzvah Yaakov is really it was a transition almost of how we should approach tefillah. Shacharis of Avram is very keva, very set. Avram, right, uses the lashon of amida. He's standing. He's kavana. He's ready. He's the tefillah. That's what Avram's mid is. Then came Yitzhak. See what he says about Yitzhak. Yeah, so it was more of a conversation. It was more and less formal. Not as much kavana in the same way as different type of kavana. Sichas chulin, meaning it was a natural conversation, which is also an important way of having tefillah to realize that we're actually having a conversation with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the kavana of like the formality of tefillah wasn't as crucial for Yitzhak's tefillah. What was Yaakov's tefillah? If you turn, look at the end of the page, Yaakov's tefillah was Yaakov gam yitzia. Gam Yitzia Lo Rak VaYifka. He didn't even go out, right? Yitzchak went out. Yatzla Tzuch Basada. Yaakov is the opposite. The tefillah just met him. Upegiu Kimo Mikra. It just happened. Kimis Asik. Sometimes we find we're diving just by rote. The Garmi Darvashem is Kavin. Shav Kavana Kolalos Inkan. They're really, there's not Tzuch Arvis. Why? Because there was darkness. Bechashkas Laila. She ain't Shem Ur Bahir. He didn't have clarity. He didn't see Hashem in his life the same way Avram Yitzchak did at this point. He was feeling, you know, maybe what's happening to me? I thought I was doing things with Shem Shemayim. I was getting these brachos. Why do I have to run away now? Right? Yaakov was total emes in Shem Davar Milvar. Ava Chalomash in Shem Kavana Behem. And even the dreams that he had, they just happened on its own. He didn't do anything to bring the dreams. So we see that the darkness of Yaakov's tefillah is sometimes the tefillahs that we experience. And we need Yaakov to teach us how to daven in the galus. That's what his tefillah was. And that's what the Mabit explains, that it's a reshus, not just because it was happenstance, it just happened that way, but it's a reshus because it's the tefillah that's going to keep us going in the darkness of galus. It's the tefillah that's going to bring Mashiach. And he talks about in that piece, davening as much as we can for Mashiach, because the shachar and the mincha, they can't bring Mashiach the same way as Maariv. Why? They're set. They have a chiyuv. We're davening because we're obligated. The Maariv, we're davening because we feel the tzaros, we feel the darkness, and even though we're mesasek, we don't have the same kavana. We call out, we daven the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's very fitting today, with what occurred at a mincha, so that, you know, the only thing that we could turn to after the tragedies that we've been experiencing there as well is a Maariv, to realize that, you know, in the darkness, as dark as it appears, you know, by Yaakov, you know, Hashem is Shamarni B'derech Hazeh, Hashem's going to guard us in this place. And through Maariv, we could see the light, we could see the Geula. And one way of approaching that is Rav Kook. You can look at this over Shabbos, it's very beautiful. As an explanation in Machshava, what is the Machlokas Avos versus Tmidim? So he says, Avos, their whole job was their own personal growth. There was no Klal Yisrael yet. They're the roots of Klal Yisrael. The Tmidim, they're Karbanos of the Tzibor. Every tefillah has to have both. You have to daven for yourself, and you have to daven for Klal Yisrael. And the Chazal made it so easy for us. Rifa Einu, Baruch Aleinu. When we say Baruch Aleinu, we think Hashem give us our Parnasa. But we don't realize, at the same time, by definition, we're saying Baruch Aleinu. Klal Yisrael is the collective. And by taking the tefillah of the Avos and the Tmidim, especially with the perspective of Maariv in the darkness, to try to realize also what the Avos gave us. The Avos gave us these kochos to continue in these times, to focus more on our tefillos, especially the type of tefillah where it's a reshus. We should make every tefillah in a certain aspect of reshus, not try to daven by rote all the time, and have those feelings. And hefully, you know, Hashem will be mekabel tefillos. I just heard recently from Rav Moshe Shapiro. He actually just had surgery this week in Shavuot Refuah Shleima. He's a big Talmid Chacham, big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael. He gives machshava shiurim, very deep shiurim. So he explained when this whole tzaros started, that Hashem gives us tzaros in order that we should daven. It's not that there are tzaros, and then the response is davening. Hashem wants to daven. He wants to hear from us. That's the Gemara says, that the avos, the imaos, they were akaros, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu misavil the tefillas and shel tzaddikim. The whole existence of Klal Yisrael, it shouldn't have happened. B'derech HaTev, it shouldn't happen. It only happened because Klal Yisrael know how to daven. So the only way that we're going to get out of these things, and we're going to a response to these type of things, is to try to mechazek a little bit in our tefillah. Okay. Thank you.